Hey, this is B. Haywood, executive producer of Confirm Multimedia. And if you want extra content, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/confirm and get early access to all of our content.
You're listening to Confirm.
Big and Lazy.
This is the Big and Lazy podcast. This is Big, and we got a very special service for y'all. Early access.
Buymeacoffee.com/confirmed.
$5 will get you early access to the episode next day.
And $8 will get you exclusive content as well as early access to the episode. So if you don't want to miss any of the good stuff that we've got going on, then please subscribe to us at buymeacoffee.com/confirmed. Bye.
You're listening to Confirm.
This podcast was produced by B. Haywood for Confirm Podcast Network.
This is the Big and Lazy Podcast. I'm Big, and we got a special guest here, man. We always got special guests, and I've been knowing this man a solid guy for 10 years straight. We go way back. We're not going to speak on how we go way back, but we go way, way back, man. Introduce yourself, man.
Man, what's up, everybody? First and foremost, I want to thank Big for having me here on the podcast. I'm Stephen Shannon, entrepreneur, business owner, and just recently a music artist as well, going by GMB Bo.
I appreciate that. And you're Arthur, man.
Oh, man. Can't even forget that. Yeah, self-published man. Author as well, man. I do a bunch of different things, so sometimes get lost in the sauce, but definitely self-published author, Against All Odds on Amazon, and I have self-published copies as well. Be on the lookout for my second book. It's going to be coming out this winter. It's called Hood Documentary, so be on the lookout for that as well.
Oh, that's what's up. Let's dive right into that, man. As you see, he brought us autographed copies, man. Hey, they going on eBay, man, for $50, man. I ain't gonna lie. autographed copy. Get at me. Now, I'm gonna say, Against All Odds, man. Could you give us what is it about, and how'd you come up with the title, and could you describe the overall process of writing a book?
Yeah, so Against All Odds is kind of like an autobiography of my life growing up in Chicago on the South Side where I was born and raised. And kind of how I took all my negative experiences growing up and turned them into positive experiences, basically using adversity to get through life. You know what I'm saying? We all go through challenges, especially nowadays, you know, it's hard. So growing up in different, you know, environments with broken homes and single families nowadays, kind of similar to where we had growing up in Chicago and any, you know what I'm saying, urban hood across the nation. So it's my life story of how I took my negative experiences growing up in gang environments, poverty, drug-stricken environments, and using academics and athletics to get myself into college with the help of my aunt and her support and just taking care of me and taking me under her wing and showing me different things in life. So that's what the book is about. And it's 10 steps to being able to beat adversity and take your opportunities and take advantage of them.
Okay. It sounds like an interesting. I can't wait to dive into that because that's what life is all about, man. Just overcoming. Like, everybody got a sad story. I want to hear how you overcame that sad story. Like, everybody got, you know, everybody got a family member on drugs, lost jobs. I just want to see, you know, I want to hear about the positive, like how you turned that negative into a positive. So was it like hard writing a book? Like,
the process was pretty easy. Once you get in the habit of writing and you just get yourself like a consistent schedule, it becomes easy. I did it during the time my wife was pregnant with my first child. And, you know, during that time, women have cravings during the night and they want to get up, use the bathroom and stuff like that. It was times when she'd get up and I couldn't go back to sleep afterwards. So I just take that time to get up and write a page or two, and a page or two a night for 90 days, 3 months, got me a book with like 200 pages. I was writing every day from October to December. And the day after Christmas, I actually got on Amazon and uploaded everything and, you know, published it, did my pre-sales and all of that. And it was pretty much over with. It took me exactly 3 months.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So once you write it, get the manuscript together as far as like the details that go inside the book, get you a graphic designer, make your cover and do your illustrations. And you really just uploading it to a platform after that. And it's pretty much that simple. You know, I just gave y'all free game. So if you want to write a book, that's something that you're interested in. The hardest part is writing it. So just get the process done, go through the process, write, And the best thing to help you with writing is reading. A lot of people don't know that, and I know a lot of people don't like to read.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of how I came into writing a book. Started out reading a lot of books to the point where I was interested in writing my own story. Like you said, everybody got a story to tell. And a lot of people thrive in life off their sad story or the negative experiences they had, but not knowing that those experiences are supposed to teach you something. You're supposed to learn a lesson out of it and turn it into something positive.
To speak on, like, you don't see a lot of people reading books. It was a kid that went viral. He was walking down the street reading the book, and he went viral for it. That's a good thing, but, like, we should see that more often. Like, exactly. you know, we had a wild place in society when just reading a book, you get national coverage.
Yeah,
and he received all. I'm proud of the young man. I watched a little of his interview. He had a WLKY, and, you know, a couple of people donated some clothes and shoes and whatnot. That's what's up, man. Get back into them books, man.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the type of stuff I'm into, you know what I'm saying? If I would have seen that soon, I probably would have found a way to donate. A couple weeks ago, I seen a kid on Instagram, Facebook, somebody shared. He was in the parking lot trying to get shoes and stuff, you know what I'm saying? Trying to buy clothes for school. And I'm like, man, you know, he need a mentor. He need a, you know, somebody that's going to take him under their wing. And at the point, I was like, I'm going to just go get some shoes from Dough Life. You feel me? I went and got two pair of $10 shoes for him.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, I wasn't able to get them to him because it was hard to catch up with him. I was like, let me meet your mom and introduce myself so I can get you the shoes. Yeah. I didn't want to just go get the shoes and just drop them off to him and not build rapport with the mom because that's not how I operate. I'm a professional person and I work with the kids for real. So I'm like, I'm going to meet mom, get him the shoes and use this as an opportunity to maybe help mentor him or help any way I can because eventually, I'm going to start my own mentoring program for the young men. So that was something I was just trying to get into. I got to get you some flyers for that before I leave, too. I forgot. I be doing too much.
Hey, man, wear many hats. Ain't nothing wrong with it, man. It's, you know, got to stay busy, man.
Yeah.
So you say Dough Life, man. You rocking Dough Life from head to toe, man. I appreciate it. Shout out to Dough Life, man. You got to come fuck with us, man.
Dough Life head to toe. Right now, he doing a sale. If you got back-to-school stuff you still need for your kids, teens specifically. I know a lot of teens be needing something fly that they can get quickly. He in the city. He running around. He making moves. He hustling. You know, the shirt I got on right now is speaking on that, you know, just being a hustler. So shout out to Dough Life. Get y'all something, man. Shoes, clothes, everything. Also, Fenora Luxury Brand is the hat that I'm wearing for the day. So if you're interested in purchasing that, I'll be having some hats and I'll be getting ready to drop in the fall.
Tell them about your brand. Tell them about your...
Yes, sir. So thanks for the segue, man. Like you said, I be doing so much, I be forgetting a lot of different stuff.
Uh-huh.
So I've been doing fashion for... I've been in fashion my whole life, but I've been doing it professionally, business-wise, for about 10 years. I started out in college. I went to Southern Illinois University. And while I was there, I had got into the habit of buying clothes every week. So, you know, when you go to college, it's a plug for those who don't go to college. Or if you want to go to college, you get a refund check every semester. They give you a nice little lump sum. You're supposed to pay for your books and pay for your education needs and resources. But, you know, the lack of knowledge that we have financially, that's not what we do with our money. So I got my money and I was getting tattoos and buying Ralph Lauren every 2 weeks. Yeah. And I got to the point where I had so much Ralph Lauren, they was calling me Polo Bo on campus. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So, like, I had branded myself off the back of another man's history and tradition. And I'm like, why am I, you know what I'm saying, being known for wearing somebody else's clothes?
Yeah.
And then that really what sparked the mind in my head that I needed to be a entrepreneur and not be a consumer no more and be a producer, come up with my own name, come up with my own brand so people can purchase from me. And that's how I came up with Fenora Luxury Brand. It's a family-based organization that I started with a couple friends and my family, and we started with an idea of building something that have a foundation for long-lasting generations. And the corners, the four corners on the hat represent the Adinka symbols that come from West Africa. People don't know what that is. West African tribes, they have these different symbols and languages that they use, and it's one of the Adinka symbols. The four squares represent the foundations of financial success and freedom and generation, and that's how I came up with the logo. So the brand is about, you know, building a high-end brand that people can still afford, you know. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we get so caught up in the high-end brands, the Gucci, Louis, Prada's, and all that, that we really can't afford it, but we make sure that we find a way to buy it. You know,
right.
We save up for it. We invest into it.
Uh-huh.
And if we invest that same energy and that same money into our own brands and our own, you know what I'm saying, products, we'll have the same generational wealth that they have, you know. So that's really where the idea came from, being able to have a high-end brand.
Let me touch
people can afford.
Real quick, I see a lot of people, like a clothing line, local clothing line. Oh, that ain't nothing but a $5 Gillian shirt with his logo on it.
Exactly.
I'm telling you, Gucci, all them high-end brands. You think they got a better quality cotton? They, you know, they charging you. He might have a $5, what's it, Gildan? I don't want to say the wrong name. Gildan shirt, and he's charging you $25. But that Gucci might have a $10 Gillian shirt, and he's charging you $300. So where's the better deal at?
Yeah, you're just paying for the name.
You're just paying for the name. And yeah. I, you know, it's, you can't, as far as, like, designer, I ain't never really been in designer because I seen so many, like, clothing lines just hot this summer, and next summer is on the goddamn clearance. Yeah. Like, shoes, that's a little different because niggas been rocking Jordans since the 80s. You know what I mean? That ain't going to change. But and it's, especially if you do it right, it could be an investment. But clothes... At high-end designer, man, I don't get it, you know.
Yeah, you're right. And that's kind of how I got into it. I was buying all this high-end designer. I'm like, man, these people are getting all this money from me, but I'm not getting nothing out of it in return. So I'm like, I need to make my own high-end brand. And that's why I came up with Fenora Luxury Brand. And to me, it's really not even high-end as far as, like, paying the price. Because like I said, if you want something that's nice, you're going to pay the price for it regardless whether you got to save or invest. But it's about investing in something that I can leave for my kids and build a foundation. And like you said, them designer brands, they hot 1 minute, next minute they on to the next one. And a lot of people don't understand with the fashion industry, you got to be ahead of the curve. You know, you got to be at least 6 months to a year ahead of the curve as far as like whatever collection's coming out next. Because people come out in seasons. These brands come out in seasons. And, you know, a lot of people get left behind. And I ain't going to lie, I learned that because I got left behind a few times. Shout out to Stay Ahead, too. Stay Ahead Clothing while I'm talking about
getting left behind. Yeah, shout out to Stay Ahead,
I had kind of got into a process of getting manufacturers overseas from Pakistan to the point where it was good when I was doing it because I caught it during, like, COVID. So I was getting low prices and then being able to ship it for a low cost as well. But after COVID was up and they lifted all these restrictions, the shipping on manufacturing and export and import went back up. So now they charging me an extra arm and a leg just to, you know what I'm saying, ship the items that I'm getting. So I kind of fell behind as far as that. And I wasn't studying and being a student of the game and planning 6 months to a year ahead. Like right now, if you want to be successful this fall or this winter, you need to already have your mock-ups and already have your collection ready and be ready to start getting your materials and talking to your manufacturers or whatever your process is to get your brand made together now so that when Christmas comes, you can have Black Friday sales. You can have people purchasing your stuff for Christmas so that they can share it with the with their family and buy it as consumers, because that's really what's going to happen.
What's mock-ups for the illiterate people? You know, for the... Okay. You know what I mean.
Yeah, so mock-up is the design that you get from your graphic designer if you got one, or if you're working with somebody from Fiverr that takes your sketch up, your illustration or whatever your conceptual idea is, and making it come to life. So if you got a hat you want to make, you're going to come up with the color scheme, what fabrics you need, and everything that you want for the hat. You're going to send it to them, and they're going to take your idea and turn it into reality as far as like a graphic. So then they'll send that back to you, and that's what you put out when you say, hey, I want to take pre-orders. This is what I want to sell. Hey, what y'all think of it? These are the hats I got coming out. Those are the pictures that you usually see people sharing before they start the process of getting it made.
Okay. And we're going to take a quick break. Subscribe to our YouTube, subscribe to our Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, Big and Lazy. If you Google Big and Lazy Podcast, we on everything. TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, Apple Podcasts, everything. Everywhere you can find podcasts. Instagram, that's our main way of getting in contact with us. But also shout out to B. Haywood and Confirm Media, man. If you need your podcast produced, he is the best in the city of Louisville. And I'm not lying. I'm not lying it because he's saying it right next to him. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, just look, you know what I mean? High quality, professional. He's always on time. Big, beautiful lights. Good quality audio. Yeah, man. Subscribe to him and reach out to him. So I'm going to change the subject a little bit. You said you get into the youth, man, a youth program. Well, like, what are you planning on doing? What do you mean when you say a youth program?
Yeah, so I went to school, like I said earlier in the interview, I went to Southern Illinois University where I got my bachelor's degree in sports administration. I went from there and I wanted to work in education as far as like the school systems and giving back, doing nonprofits and things of that nature. That's kind of like well, my my realm of the degree I had was in, like, physical education or gym teacher or athletic director, something like that. But after I graduated and realized they didn't make a lot of money, it was like, okay, now you got to find another plan or another option. I minored in school, but I really didn't get to finish my minor because I graduated before it was time to get that. And I'm like, you know what? I already got my degree. I'm out the door. So I was studying child psychology as a minor, and I wanted to get into working with the kids because I wanted to go back to Chicago and give back as far as, like, nonprofit organizations and after school programs, because that's really where we took a turning point in our community when we lost after school programs, basketball clinics and stuff like that. So I'm like, okay, I want to go back and take that market and be able to flood it with different programs and things. So I kind of got into youth development, moved here to Louisville in 2014 after I got my degree, and was like, now I got to get my feet wet with my degree. So I jumped into working at the schools and working with the kids and after school programs, like the Boys and Girls Clubs, YMCAs and things of that nature. And I worked for like 10 years, got all this different experience with nonprofits and building budgets and strategic planning. And I'm like, man, I got all this experience and I'm working with these kids. You know, maybe it might be time to, you know, start my own thing. Yeah. So I started my own organization called Fly Scholars Incorporated. And it's a youth-based organization for young men ages 10 to 13, where I give back and tutor, mentor, and just be a resource of, you know, inspiration to the kids and helping single mothers and families who need that extra guidance and positive role model for their kids.
That's where it starts at, bro. Like, you say 10 to 13, I think that's a sweet, good age. Like, because it, you know, at a point in life, a child, especially young boys that maybe be fathers at home, don't really have guidance, about 13, 14, 15, they take that fork in the, you know, road. Mm-hmm. Like, I think between, like, you know, like 8 and like 12, 13, they can get around positive, you know, show them there's a better way, show them, hey, you ain't got to do this, you ain't got to fit in, like, you ain't, you know, it's okay to be a loner, it's okay not to be, you know what I mean? So that's pretty good, man. And that's where it starts at, like.
Yeah. And I chose that, not to cut you off, but specifically I chose that age group because 9 to 10, 4th, 5th grade, that's where kids, they start labeling our kids, basically. That's where they start figuring out, okay, maybe little Johnny might be special ed or special needs, or little Rico ain't going to make it to sophomore year, or little Mike might have an issue with ADHD because his dad's not home, so he cutting up at school and they trying to diagnose him. Well, really, that's not the case. So now you got these 8, 9-year-olds, 10 to 12-year-olds exactly, like that middle school age group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got the third grade reading retention where kids start, like, regressing in third grade as far as, like, reading because they're not getting those skills that they need during the summer. It's called summer learning loss because they're not reading and they're not keeping a steady schedule of actually learning. So in the summer, they lose learning and they start to regress. So now you got these third graders who have started to regress and start losing skills. By the time they reach fourth grade, it's called the fourth grade learning syndrome. You can look this up too. By the time they reach the fourth grade, they ain't even interested in school no more because now I can't read. And if you ask me to read in front of my friends, I'm going to be embarrassed.
Right.
Or I'm not reading at home with mom and dad, so you holding me accountable and I can't read. So now I don't even really want to care about school. I'm going to try to be in the in crowd and get influenced by my peers and see if I want to be gang related or if I want to be the class clown or if I want to be the ladies man. And then that's when you start getting these different labels and different groups of kids who basically ain't even interested in learning no more. So now they ready to drop out by the seventh grade.
This is the Big and Lazy Podcast. I'm Big. I'm B Fines. And we're excited to announce our collaboration with Fleur. Together, we are offering a brand new course specifically designed for musicians and artists just like you. This course is packed with viable insight, practical tips to help you grow and succeed in your creative endeavors. And if you use, I'm not going to lie to you, if you use our link to purchase this program, we get a little kickback. So I need you to go check, and the link's going to be in the description, in the comments. Go check that out. Fleur, Big and Lazy, together, putting Louisville on the map.
Yeah, and I briefly talked to a teacher once upon a time, but that's neither here nor there. She said they use third grade and reading scores to gauge how many prisons they're going to need in, you know, X amount of years, you know, whatever. Yeah.
when they turn of age. And I'm like, wow. Because we was talking about a situation. I'm not going to say nothing. But yeah, we was talking about, you said they use third grade. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's called the prison pipeline. Yep.
Uh-huh.
They use them statistics to determine whether the kid's going to be successful or whether they're going to go to jail or not. And you know, they say one in every four black boys go to jail. So now that's double, because ain't no telling how many going to jail now, because
yeah,
they just out here with no guidance. So that's why myself and other like-minded individuals, we got to do a better job of just stepping up and being, even if it's just being a face at the lunchroom on a Tuesday afternoon, just, you know what I'm saying, pop up on your kid at the school and bring him a little chicken nugget or something, you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
And let the teacher see that it's another black man in the building, because they really appreciate that, you know, so. That's really what I'm into. So if you need support for your soon-to-be middle schooler or your fourth to fifth grader, you just need an extra, you know, role model or some guidance, I'm doing open registration from now to October. If you want your kids to be enrolled and they looking for something to do after school, I'll be offering mentoring. It's called Fly Scholars Incorporated LLC. So I'm going to do the LLC and the incorporation, because it's going to be a nonprofit and a for-profit, but that's two different business structures that I could talk about on two different levels. So I'm like, I don't want to confuse people.
Nah, okay. If you need some help with that, man, I'm down for it. You know, okay. I'll lend a hand.
I got you.
So do you think the music, because I don't want to be that guy, but we didn't get older now, but some of these music, it's drill, not rap, but drill music, like, it's just 3 or 4 minutes of just straight murder me. Like, it's no killing and sliding, like, it's so do you think that kind of correlates, you know, does, you know, like the Pooh Shite, Steve Mask, and do you think it kind of correlates influence by music,
yep.
Mm-hmm.
I think our youth are definitely heavily influenced by music, especially nowadays, being more exposed to it and having more opportunities to get to it, because like when we was growing up in the '90s, we had cassette tapes or CDs. So if your pops wasn't really sharing his music or bumping it in the car, you really wasn't going to hear no Pac or no Biggie unless you was around somebody who was bumping it or really playing it, or you got a hold of their CDs or their tapes. But now these kids can stream it themselves, get on YouTube, find it themselves, and the artists ain't making it no better, because they just highlighting, like we said about the book, all the negative things that they got going on in their life or how they grew up. Yeah, it's cool to relate to it, but at the end of the day, you putting a negative stigma in the kid's head to think that it's okay to grab the 30 and go load up and go hit two blocks, spray it down, and if ain't nobody fail yet, you're going to hit the block again. Now you're calling it sliding, and that's all they want to rap about. You know what I'm saying? The beats be nice. It be cool for a couple minutes. Like you said, the first 2-3 minutes is cool, but after you in the 3-4 minutes, you really like, man, it's a negative vibration to this, because I'm feeling like loading up, even though I ain't even got no ops. I'm feeling,
man,
like,
I'm
the first nigga say something to me in Kroger, I might want to steal on him.
Yeah, man, I did
the music, you know. So
I didn't looked up. I'm going to hunt on the. I didn't get into this mode like, yeah, like Kodak. What did Kodak say? I ate a fake perk, but I'm a gremlin. Like, man, as a 30-year-old man, I'm a 32-year-old, whenever that song came out, I could, like, this is entertainment. But that 12-year-old boy, that 15-year-old boy, he, you know, he think he's really living like that. You know, think
that's
really
what they try to do. And they try to imitate what they hear in the music and actually be it in life. And that's why we got so many kids who got short tempers and quick behavior management issues. They don't know how to cope with their emotions, especially our young boys, because they're not being taught to think, you know what I'm saying, and let your intellect overpower your emotions, and they not thinking, and they just going off the first thing, which they know is to fight, and bam, now I don't win the fight, I'm embarrassed, because you know the camera's out. As soon as they see it's going to be a fight,
man,
the phones come out, so now you live, and it's 4K, that's what the kids call it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's 4K HD TV, so now you got the fight going on, you lose the fight, first thing you thinking is, I'm finna go grab a pistol. If they ain't already got it with them, because a lot of them, they wearing the full hoodies and the jogging suits, and people wondering why they got the jogging suits on. And it's because they got the 30 clip in there, and they don't want it poking out. Or you got the ones that's just bold, and they walking around with their 30 like this.
Yeah,
in the store, in the gas station. So the music definitely has influenced our use, and I think that's why a lot of artists is kind of like went ghost. We don't see as many trap musicians or trap artists as we did before, because
I think drill music,
a lot of them ain't got nothing to rap about.
Yeah, I think.
And the Rico, you got the Rico case.
Yeah, they get hitting your head, Ricos. And I think it's, you know, like, I think it's like that genre's kind of like, I ain't gonna say saturated, but it's kind of like died down. Like,
so it's like you got to prove yourself too. So yeah. It's like, if you're gonna rap about that, we want to see if you really like that. And it just,
Yeah. So I'm gonna ask you, at that drill music, you being from Chicago, do you credit Chief Keef for starting that?
See, the people don't know. It's like, it's a whole culture behind the drill music from Chicago. And while Keef get a lot of the credit, it's a couple other artists who don't really get, you know what I'm saying, notoriety as far as like the foundation they made. Like King Louis, he another one of the founding members of the Chicago drill. I would say King Louis, Chief Keef, and definitely Dirk for sure, because he's been on the longest run as far as like notoriety and brand awareness and just being marketable. But I would say Chief, he's one of the people that's on the list, but I wouldn't say he's the founder. He just brought it out to the more light, because when he did it, it was so, like, he was like so young and everybody was like, it was so raw and organic. But you had a couple older people who really didn't hit the limelight till he brought it to the where. So I guess you could say it. I don't want to contradict myself, but yeah, it took for him to hit the limelight to say, okay, there's other people behind him who've done this already. We just ain't seen them in the light that he's in. So yeah, I ain't gonna discredit him. I say he up there, even though I contradicted myself. I just gave y'all kind of like a little small Chicago route, Mount Rushmore, but Chief, he'll definitely be up there, Chief Keef.
Yeah, I mess with Chief Keef. It was my brother's. He loved Chief Keef. He's getting gone now, but he loved Chief Keef.
Yeah.
I never really got it. I listened to him here and there, but I wasn't the biggest Chief Keef fan.
I would say we did see a lot of rappers evolve from that, though. Like, we see a lot of younger rappers get noticed, and then, like, that's where the drill kind of like spread it more. And we got all these different young kids in these different communities across the nation, hoods specifically, that's really living what they talking about, because they living in poverty-stricken environments, that's gangs, and they don't really got nothing else to look to. So music is like they outlet. So that brought a lot of, that's why you seen so many people come with him when he came out. It was like Keef, Dirk, Fredo, L.A., Rondo. It was just like a whole group. And if you notice now, it's a whole nother generation of them, with like Prince Dre and Shoebox and 1700. It's a lot of new Chicago artists coming out as well off the landscape of what they made.
So did King Von come up under Chief? Did he come along with Chief?
I don't think he specifically came out with Keef. He was like that second generation of like the O Block crew members coming out after Dirt kind of like opened the gate for him. He got out and was like, okay, it's time for me to make a switch. You know, he started maneuvering with Dirk, but he's definitely from there. You know, he's from O Block, and you know, but if you ask a lot of people, it's a lot of politics to being in those different areas in Chicago, because you got a lot of people who's from there who won't say they from there because they on the other side now. Yeah. Or you got a lot of people who ain't from there who will say they is from there because they was on the other side at one point. A lot of people don't know in Chicago, it's called flipping. You can start out in one gang, and then something might happen. Somebody might get backdoored, or one of your people might get killed, or I don't know, you might find some money on the other side, and then you got people going from one gang to the other gang, and they kind of like flip sides. That's why it's kind of so messy. Because a lot of these people that's in one gang now, they used to be in another gang. Really? Or their daddies was in one gang, and they was in the opposite gang. You know what I'm saying?
So you're saying fathers and sons was in different gangs?
Different gangs.
That's wild.
Family members in the same house. I grew up in a household where I had a couple, my brother and my cousins was in different gangs, and my female cousins was in other gangs. And these gangs can be into it at any moment, but like, they still come home and live with each other and act like ain't nothing happening. That's like real true stories. You got people that's right now, brothers that's in different gangs. You feel me?
That's wild, man. So do you think gang culture is still relevant and still a problem today?
Yeah, I definitely do. I think it's even worse now, because back then you had an actual structure of a gang. It really wasn't like a gang. It was like a community organization. When you had the Black Panthers who, when they got shut down in the late 60s and the early 70s, you had all these people who was general minded and military minded who still wanted to do work in the community. And that's where they started all these gangs. And you had like Jeff Fort, Larry Hoover, David Barksdale, Walter Wee, all these different gang leaders come up out of that, because they were still like, I guess you can say, descendants of what the Black Panther Party has started. So now you got these community-minded people building structures like the 10-point program with the after-school stuff for the kids and the food and giving back to the communities and doing something positive, because at the time you still had segregation. You had white people, they was calling them spooks at the time. You had white people that had gangs. They don't tell y'all that. The white people had their gangs first and their clans, and they was chasing us down. So we was running back to the community like, now we gotta hold our stuff down and we gotta come up with something. So that's where you seen the Bloods and the Crips and the Gangster Disciples, the Black Disciples, who the Gangster Disciples and the Black Disciples at one point was just one gang, and they kind of like split up. And that's where it was like wildfire. You had all these different gangs splitting up and they knocked down the projects. And, you know, once you knock down the projects, it's like rats and roaches again. You got people splitting and going any and every which way to the suburbs, to different hoods, and they already represent these other gangs. Now you got different gangs in the same community that's living together, and that just causes more violence because they're fighting for the same resources and things of that nature. And now it's even worse because we don't have that structure and that foundation to be, you know, holding down the community or having a safe front for the kids. It's really just about who got smoked and who we're going to name the block after, and that's really what the gang going to be. And we're going to make a few dollars off selling some peas, and we're going to slide. That's really what the gangs consist of now. There's no... Ain't nobody really getting no money. Ain't nobody really having no structure. They're doing it for clout. They're doing it for clout, you know. So
Instagram, like, they didn't.
Yeah,
the gang didn't went on the internet now.
Yeah, you know, and the crazy part, these gangs nowadays is like kids who went to middle school together or kids who went to high school together, and they beefing now over something so silly, and they taking other people who went to school with them, and they getting mixed up, and they getting backdoed, and you got people getting people set up, and you got all these innocent bystanders getting. Mm-hmm. In situations because there's so much going on, because there's so much politics with people that's like was friends and now they're enemies, and it's easier for them to access each other because you're really like down the street. So
and crazy. A lot of this beef, but like you said, goes back. You can't even, a lot of this could be just a simple conversation, like a simple misunderstanding, but my pride's in the way. I ain't really got the ability to articulate my words, so you know what I mean. You not understand it. Like a simple conversation could, you know, the world would be a better place if everybody had that mindset. Like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah,
I
can tell you about a little. Huh? Being able to communicate, because that's really all it is. Communication. And
communication is
problem
the key,
solving, conflict resolution. That's what we teach the kids, conflict resolution.
You ever got into coaching? You ever got into, you say you...
sports coaching.
Yeah, sports coaching.
Yeah, like I told you, my degree was in sports administration. So when I first got into like working with kids, that's really what I was doing, was coaching basketball teams and a little league teams. At one point, I started my own AAU team at the Parkland Boys and Girls Club. We had a group of 16-year-olds who really didn't have nothing to do. They was all pretty talented. They just didn't have the resources.
It's my Parkland on 32nd and Greenwood?
Yeah, okay, Parkland on 32nd Greenwood. Mm-hmm. That's where I was working at when I first moved here. 32nd Greenwood at the Boys and Girls Club. And I started an AAU team. They was able to let me use the van. We was going to Indianapolis and areas in the outskirts, going to different tournaments.
Okay,
what was
the name
of
your team?
It was called Parkland Panthers, 16 AAU.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Yeah.
What was y'all record? Was y'all pretty good?
No, we was horrible. The crazy part was I was the athletic coordinator, so I didn't get to actually coach them. I was like, I ain't going to put it together and coach them.
Yeah.
So I gave another person the opportunity to coach. And they was like, man, this coach is horrible. We want you to coach. And it's like every time I coach, we won.
Uh-huh.
But I would give the other person the empowerment and let them coach. And you know, it was getting spanked. But another portion of it was they was 15 and 16. We was playing like 17 and 18-year-olds.
Okay.
So they out there getting dunked on and everything, like getting crossed over. But it was a good experience because they was able to grow and learn from it. And by the end of most of their careers, they was all dunking. And some of them went to different colleges to play football and basketball.
Oh, okay.
So it was good to see that be a product of something. I was able to build a foundation just off that AAU team and being able to inspire them and take them, even just taking them around the outskirts to Indianapolis and the different Indiana areas and eating Chick-fil-A and stuff. Like, you know, a lot of them, they living in the hood. They don't really get the experience going out
to
Chick-fil-A or no WW Cousins or nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
All they know is what they can access in the hood. So that was a great opportunity. I look forward to doing that in the future as well.
So how do you feel about, I see the West End, man, is getting a lot of upgrades. How do you feel about gentrification? How do you feel about...
It's crazy because, you know, I don't know. I'm kind of like on the... I'm wishy-washy with it because it's good to see the community be built up and be restructured or gentrified, as they say it, and bring all this new stuff in this... supposed to be new business to the community. But what it does is they really didn't tell you before they brought all that in. They pushed out a lot of people and made them sell their homes by foreclosure, or they kind of like made them forfeit their homes or made them get liens on their houses, or basically put a lot of our black people out of the community so that they can move in, which is the reverse of what they did when they first got to the community. Because when we first started buying homes before they was redlining us, or even still to this day, they was not letting us buy homes. And when we did buy them, they started to to move away once you get the white flight and people move out of the communities. Now they're seeing what these properties are worth after all these years of appreciation value. Mm-hmm. And they saying, okay, we want to come back and get these homes that was worth $40,000 10 years ago. Now they worth $160,000, you know. So now we want to come back. We want to buy this property. And they pushing us out. And it's bringing a lot of stuff to the community, but it's just, it's a little weird space because now we're seeing jobs come in, but are we really getting those jobs? Because it's a job shortage right now. I don't know if people notice it, but if you get on Indeed, it's a lot of these jobs open, but you can put in an application and not hear nothing from nobody. You know what
exactly.
I'm saying? So I don't know what's not adding up with the economy. I know we got the inflation right now and then we got the job market being scarce, which don't add up because you would think it would be more jobs and opportunities available for people so they can get those taxes, but that's a whole nother conversation. But yeah, I do think gentrification has its pros and its cons as far as like what it could do for the community. Right now, I'm all for it as far as like as long as it's going to bring opportunity to the community so people can start working and start being able to help them themselves and feed their families. But at the end of the day, you got people who worked so hard and retired, all these baby boomers who worked so hard and got these homes and they got pushed out or got like scared off, you know, out of their homes and stuff like that. So it's kind of like a win-lose situation.
Don't sell granny's house, man. Don't sell.
Yeah, don't sell granny house.
So you say you grew up in Chicago. I'm going to change the subject a little bit. What city you say got the better food, Louisville or Chicago? Because I got a buddy.
Definitely Chicago. I'm going to say that only because I grew up there and that's where I was, you know, grown and raised on a lot of that food. And a lot of those people came from like Mississippi. A lot of people don't know it. A lot of people from Chicago came from Memphis and Mississippi when they migrated from the South.
Yeah.
And I ain't going to lie, I love Louisville food too, though, because when I came here, it was like, it was kind of like I was right at home.
Yeah.
I kind of got dropped off in the hood. I didn't know where I was at. But I was like, oh, this ain't nothing too different from where I'm from. So I'm good, you know. And then I just started eating like the different places. I was living on 18th. So, you know, right in the backyard is
King's
Chicken. So that's what I was getting every other week. Getting me some King's Chicken. Get the little 20-piece spicy. So I like King's Chicken. And then I got cussed out once I met my wife because she was like, King's Chicken? Oh, you ain't had Chicken King. And I'm like, what? And she's like, it's a whole nother chicken spot up on the East End. So I'm like, all right, I need to try that too.
Yeah.
So then she put me on the Chicken King. And then, of course, you got Indies. These are all chicken spots I'm naming right now.
Yeah.
But of course, then once I ventured out and started to learn the city and get more into the culture, I learned that this is a city, you know, for barbecue. And a lot of people here can cook. You feel me?
Yeah.
Like, even a lot of the men, shout out to the men that cook, because, like, it's a negative stigma around men not being able to cook because they be mama boys and move in with these women because they can't do nothing for themselves. But we got a lot of men that can actually cook, throw down on the grill. You know what I'm saying? I got introduced to brisket when I moved here.
Oh, really?
I never had brisket until I moved to Kentucky. I never had Kiel. Chicken Kiel. I never had that until I moved here. I get the chicken Kiel from Indies.
Yeah.
Two-piece spicy, whatever it's called.
Uh-huh.
Little dinner.
Because my buddy, he lives in Chicago, Indianapolis. He said that The food scene is killing. The Louisville food scene is killing Indianapolis. No, Indianapolis.
Oh, Indianapolis. Uh-huh. Oh, I ain't really ate too much in Indianapolis. I only been there like once or twice. I had the Capitol Grill in Indianapolis, and it was horrible.
Yeah, they got one
cussed out and everything at the restaurant.
Who cussed you out?
My wife. At the time, she was my fiance, but we went out to Capitol Grill, and the food was horrible, and it was like date night, and it was just like, it didn't hit, so I kind of like...
Oh, man. And it was expensive, too.
So I was kind
of
mad.
A lot of them restaurants, though, you're paying for the name, man. Yeah, like, you know who has some of the best steak, man? Longhorns. If you for the price you're going to pay, you can go to these high-end restaurants and stuff. But for a nice $30, you can get you a nice steak at Longhorns, nice man. That's my go-to spot, man.
Longhorns. I just had, like, is it Outback?
Outback, for
the first time not too long ago. Took the kids there. I'm trying to get into like this tradition of taking my kids and my wife to dinner like once every Sunday because she usually cooks Sunday dinner. So I'm like, maybe every once in a while I'll just take the kids out and let them learn how to have like a real dinner, sit down and learn etiquette.
Yeah.
Learn how to, you know, do stuff at an actual table. So I'll be taking them out. I went to Outback. They got pretty decent steak. I think we just went for the rolls though.
Yeah. Are you talking about Texas Roadhouse? The rolls, the cinnamon butter.
Is it Outback or Texas Roadhouse?
With the cinnamon butter?
Yeah, cinnamon butter.
Yeah, that's Texas Roadhouse.
I keep being confused because it's like You got Longhorn.
Yeah, Longhorn's Outback.
Outback Texas.
You got Logan's, but there ain't too many of those.
Old Charlie.
Yeah, Old Charlie's. Charlie. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. So if you had a message, if you can give a message to the youth, man, like, what would it be, man? Message, maybe a, not even so much as youth, maybe a hustler that's trying to get over that slum. Like, just give a gem, man.
Yeah, I'll say, really just don't give up. Just stay down for longevity. It might seem like it's the end of the road right now, but just staying positive and optimistic about what can come from the process of what you're putting in right now and the work that you're putting in, and just continue. It might not be 6 months from now. It might not be 6 years from now. But as long as you stay down, stay humble, you eventually going to, you know what I'm saying, get to where you need to go and prevail, and you're going to get your come up and your blessings. You'll reap all the benefits that you should get. You know, just stand down and stand focused.
Okay, you heard him. So I'm going to ask you this. I ain't not to be in your business, but it's always a popular debate on social media about 50-50. Mm. As a married man, and you've been with your fiancé for a while, like, you know, how do y'all split the, like, how does it split, you know, 50-50, yeah. You know, how's it?
So I'm old school, like, in that sense, I say, like, I'm a traditional old school man as far as, like, I'm going to come home, I'm going to make sure all the bills paid and everything done. And if you're going to work, like, because at first my wife didn't work. Mm-hmm. Like, I let her stay home and do the kid thing until a point where it was like, okay, she got dreams and aspirations too, and she got stuff she want to do. So I kind of like took the backseat. I did the stay at home thing for a while, and I let her go out and work. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But then we figured out that I was still trying to figure stuff out. And what people don't know is staying at home with the kids and cooking and cleaning, that stuff becomes depressing after a while for a woman. Especially after she had kids, like, she get postpartum, and then she get depression. That's a bad combination. So as men, we got to be more cognitive and assert and aware about what we doing and the energy we bring home after she had a kid. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to stay home and I'm going to, you know, let you go work. And then I was like, you know what? We need more than one income because, you know what I'm saying? I just want to be able to bring more than one income in. So we both working now. And to this point, like, it's still not where I depend on her to pay bills unless we have to, unless we in a crunch or it's like, you know, mm-hmm. something that I can't do. I'd be open and communicate with her about it. But for the most part, I try to let her keep all her money, you know, and do what she want to do with it. Now, yeah. I got a good woman. So I'm fortunate enough for her because even if I be like, all right, babe, you got your money, do what you want to do. She's still going to come home and pay some bills and do stuff for the kids anyway. So, like, I don't believe in 50-50, just being a traditional man. I think men, we're supposed to provide and protect and be able to get it by any means necessary. Now, if you get you a woman that want to work and y'all can be a power couple and bring in two incomes and you can make it work, then do that. But don't be dependent on a woman to pay your bills and make stuff, make ends meet. Because as a man, you're supposed to want to have your own anything anyways, own house, own car. Right. Because you don't want to move in with a woman and then y'all don't work out. Now you out on the streets, you know, because you ain't got your own as a man.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Once you move in with that woman, it, I ain't going to say she don't respect you, but it's going to be.
Independent.
Yeah. You know, even if you paying most of the bills, that's still, if it's in her name, man, it's going to be better walk like that winner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this is the Big and Lazy podcast, man. So now, first off, who would you like to see on here? Who you think will be a special guest if you? You know,
I'm trying to think who ain't already been on. Oh, most definitely, Doe Life. You know, Doe Life got to get on here. Got to make the timing right.
He just follows on IG. Like, I just seen that, so I'm gonna reach out. I'm gonna hit in his DM. I just seen that follow about 2 or 3 weeks ago, so I'm gonna tap in with him, man. Yeah. Doe Life, you had to fuck with us, man.
Yeah.
And it's the Big and Lazy podcast, so you gotta give us something good to eat, big and lazy, something good to watch. See, I worded it different, huh?
Something good to eat. Some big back shit, I say stuffed chicken. You know, if y'all ain't never had the stuffed chicken with the mushrooms and the bell peppers and the onions and the cheese, and if you eat swine, put a little bacon in there.
Is this from a restaurant? It's like a
home cooked meal.
Oh, okay,
if you got somebody that can put it together, or you can put it together yourself, I say stuffed chicken because you get a little bit of everything in there. It's good in protein. You ain't even got to have a side if you do it the right way.
Yeah. Big Mamas used to have a nice stuffed chicken breast, man, before they you know, switched out. But they had a, that's the only thing I thought, you know, it was good, man.
Yeah.
So, Lazy, something good to watch.
Something good to watch. I don't know. I say if y'all into, like, satire and weird comedy, the weird side of me, I be watching Abbott Elementary. It's kind of like Everybody Hate Chris, but like an elementary version. It's,
yeah,
it's the adult him playing a teacher with another actor, and they working out at an elementary
school. What's her name? The little black chick.
I can't remember. She won an award and everything.
Yeah, she was. I remember
she
her.
She came off online.
Your yeah, Instagram. Yeah, she was at the yeah. movies. Can I get a large popcorn?
Oh, he got money. That's that shit. Yeah, yeah. yeah.
My niece, show him the...
I can't think of her name, but yeah, her and Everybody Hate Chris actor. I can't remember his name, his real name either. Ah, but they got a show called Abbott Elementary, and it's pretty funny.
You know what I've been watching? This kind of, like you said, it's a satire, like dry comedy, Atlanta.
Atlanta? Yeah, yeah, I done watched all of those. Yeah. That was a trip with is it Childish Gambino.
Yeah, Childish Gambino, Paperboy, man. Yeah, that shit they funny, is man. Hilarious.
And then they had the second season. I really didn't understand it because they kind of like took a turn with it.
Yeah. I'm right at the first season.
It got a little weirder in the second season.
I did?
Yeah.
You okay. Yeah, Quinita Brunson. Yeah, she's won an award. I think she won an Emmy. Yeah, I seen her. Yep. Quinita Brunson. Yeah, shout out to her, man. Maybe we can get her on the show. But yeah, another good episode, a good show is called The Boys. I'm going to plug his every time. The Boys on Amazon Prime.
I ain't checked that out yet. Is it on Netflix too?
Nah, it's not on Netflix. Netflix.
Okay, Amazon Prime.
Amazon's called, it's about superheroes, but they're evil. Mm-hmm. Like, they're killing people, robbing people. Like, they got agents. They like Hollywood stars. They got agents and,
yeah,
you know, like, it's I'm one, I'm going to give you a little snippet. Like, it's one scene. The dude's like Flash. He's real fast and he robs somebody, right? Uh-huh. And he's running away from the crime and he runs a girl over. Like a dude's walking on the street with his lady and on like a little date night and he just runs
run
like
over.
And she just explodes with blood like she's dead type shit. You know what I mean? And like
that's wrong.
Yeah, so they paying people. It, like it's crazy.
Taking
bro.
Advantage of their superpower.
Yeah, but
they black.
One of them is. The one that did that killing is, yeah, but they wild, man. They trying to be in the army. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. You got to check it out. But it was a pleasure talking to you, man. And I swear, this is, you know, this is dope. It's one of the dopest, you know, insightful, you know, you gave back to the, you know, you giving back to the youth. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, the boy. That's what it is. There is the boys. Yeah, you got to check it out. Man. Yeah. I see his meme all the time. I didn't get it, though, but I just stumbled across. I see his meme and shit, but,
Yeah, I'm gonna have to check it. I thought it was just another little hero movie.
Yeah, nah, that's just wild. They doing some more other stuff on there. Yeah. Cause I see his meme and shit all the time, but I never, you know, watched it.
Check this shit out.
Okay.
I'm gonna go home and lay down anyway.
Dig.
For the day tomorrow, yeah.
What you got up for tomorrow, man?
So I work two jobs, man. I gotta get up and go to my first job. I work at New Directions as a life coach for the residents that's in subsidized housing. Basically trying to help them get off subsidized housing, fix their credit, back cars, and get into home ownership. And then at night, I work at UPS, so I got to...
Okay, get that money, man.
And I just sleep in between, man. That wedding really drained me, so after the wedding, I was like, I got to get back to it. I got to save some money back up and get back to being creative and stuff. So.
Well, I appreciate you stopping by, and we're going to end it just like that, man.
Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate you.
This podcast was produced by B. Haywood for Confirmed Podcast Network.
Hey, B. Haywood, Confirmed Podcast Network. Thank you for all the continued support. Continue to check out We Them Girls podcast as well as Big and Lazy podcast on the Confirmed Podcast Network. We love you. Thank you for the support and keep on listening. We got more content coming for y'all. Thank you.
Hey, this is B. Haywood, executive producer of Confirmed Multimedia. And if you want extra content, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/confirmed and get early access to all of our content.
You're listening to Confirmed.